Yes, I would make a motion or entertain a motion that we adopt each of the minutes separately. So the very special December special minutes, which everyone has seen, I make a motion that we adopt the December special minutes. Seconded by Mr. Lazarovitz. I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
Can I ask the President for a small clarification?
Order. Yes.
We can't hear with all the noise. Thank you.
We would,
Mr. Secretary, you are recognized.
Okay, on the roll call, we would substitute Mr. Lynn for Mr. Merez, and we would not have Mr. Taylor or Mr. Thompson.
Exactly. We have a new board.
But that's the extent of the changes on the roster.
That's the extent of the changes.
Okay, now I'm ready then.
May I also make a statement? As a treasurer and the person who handles the vote count for these issues, I need to let you know that those of you who are new and who have, and I'm basically speaking to one because the others qualify, but those of you who are new who have not had the funding training or have not had the ethics training, you are not in a position to vote on this or any funding matters. And Mr. Camara, you cannot either because you have not had the funding training, so we cannot ask him for his vote on any funding issues or what have you either.
He has taken that.
Thank you.
Not according to Dunn.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll address that. We're just adopting the minutes, you guys. This has been so easy for years and years. So
may I ask for clarification on that?
Yes, please. Mr. Lynn.
What did you just say? I have frequently have trouble understanding her.
Our treasurer pointed out that on the Dunn website that Mr. Camara has not completed his funding and ethics training. Now, if that's accurate or not, I know Candy went with him to one of the trainings. So we can put a little star or an asterisk by his vote.
Yes.
But Mrs. Hopp is true and factually accurate when she says that the Dunn website does not have him trained. Mr. Merez is factually accurate because he was with him at the training. So we are just adopting the December special minutes, and I move that we continue on with our meeting.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to clarify that was not about me.
What I would do, Mr. Lynn, is recuse yourself from these votes just because you weren't on the council at the time, and then next month you'll be free to adopt minutes with the rest of us.
Does that include the fire station?
The fire station, we'll get to that. Let's get through the minutes.
All right.
Okay, so Mr. Secretary, the motion on the floor that Mr. Lazarovitz seconded was the adoption of the December special minutes.
Okay, and just again, clarify then with me when we get to these various votes, what special situations you may wish to call. Okay, for the December special minutes, President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Anand.
You do business in the area, but you can vote.
Aye. Okay.
December minutes.
Yes, aye.
Mr. Camara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta. Mr. De La Cuesta.
Carino is stepped out.
There he is. De La Cuesta. Okay. We're voting on the minutes. Is that a yes?
On the December special minutes.
Yes.
Yes, you have yes.
Okay, aye. Okay. Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Lynn would recuse, I imagine, since he was here. Okay. Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton. It passes.
It's so exciting, the December minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name wasn't called at all.
Mr. Walenko.
Yes, the second. Okay. My apologies, Mr. Walenko.
Abstain.
Okay. 14 aye, 1 abstain.
All right, Mr. Secretary, did you have anything else, or should we move on with the adoption of the March minutes?
No.
All right, so the March minutes.
11, technically 10 for sure.
Very good. I make a motion that we adopt the March minutes.
Seconded.
With a second from Mr. Benjamin. I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Anand.
Yeah, I wasn't here, so I'm going to abstain.
Okay, just a second. That takes a second, but okay. Mr. Camara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Havard. Okay, Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Lynn, I guess, would recuse again. Okay, Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton.
Yes.
Mr. Waleka.
Abstain.
Okay. It passes.
Very good. Anything else for us, Mr. Secretary?
Not that I can think of.
Very good. Moving on in the agenda, item 6, Treasurer's Report. Jeanette Hopp, you are recognized.
Thank you so much. Okay. All right. You have a packet I have passed out, and in that you will see that I listed the individual items, copies, fax, election ad, daily news, 367-25, sheriff's forum, sound rental, $50, miscellaneous copying amount of $6.25, 52 cents, $3.12, food, $120. Candidates and neighborhood council candidate forum, copies for flyer, 2314, copies, just little ones, 91 cents. Outreach done, 571, outreach reelection, 1665, and water for general meeting and forum, 1359, for a total of 654.86. We had a little over $12,000 last time. We take that out, we've got a little over 11. But I have to tell you that that does not reflect the accurate count, and the reason for that, as I've said many times, is we have some outstanding things. I did email Dunn and ask them about that, and we have a new representative taking, and is that you, Amber? Oh, okay. She needs to come introduce herself, but in the interim, let me state that I did just email her and found out something very sad, and we wish to offer our condolences to you at your loss. She was out on bereavement leave. I did also send to Betty Wong Oyama and to Mr. Merlo Manoy, but he isn't the person, I guess, who does that. So anyway, bottom line, they couldn't tell me what, according to them, we have left over, because I actually think it's only around 4,000, and I don't want us to overspend like we did last year and be short on our incoming budget again in June. So I would caution you to not go overboard, because I'm certain we're not going to be short. If anything, like I said, over a lot of money, we're going to be short if we're not careful. I also gave you all budget advocates recommendations budget for the budget. I gave you budget advocates meeting minutes of 328, of 317, and outreach of 317, and also elections of the same date. So you know I've been kind of busy trying to get everything caught up for everybody. I will just briefly tell, I'm not going to do that yet, because that's not until we get to the budget advocates. So that's where we're at this point, and if we can get a vote on the spending, I would appreciate that, because that's going to keep us going.
Very good. I make a motion we adopt the treasurer's report.
Second.
With that, I call for the vote. Mr. Secretary.
In 1 second. Okay, President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Anand.
Mr. Anand, Treasurer's Report.
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Havard.
Marilyn.
Yes.
Give a yes.
Okay, Mr. Lazarevitz.
Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Lynn would, I guess, recuse on this. Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Skelton.
Yes.
Mr. Waleka.
Yes.
Okay, it passes.
Very good. Thank you, Jeanette, for all the good work. Very good work. Thank you very much. Moving on, committee chairpersons' reports. Does anybody have anything for that? Maria, anything for outreach? Very good. Thank you very much. Carino, the Plum Committee chair, co-chair. You're recognized.
Thanks, Mr. President. I've been working on the People's Street and hopefully bring Ciclovia to Van Nuys. I know that last weekend they had a Ciclovia event, if anybody checked it out, but hopefully we can bring it over to the Valley, which I'm doing. I have a little flyer that I have in the front if nobody didn't take it all, but I'll be spreading it around the area as far as getting support. What I'm asking you is to go to Facebook and go to bring Ciclovia and People Street to Van Nuys and do a like, just to get more support and more attention to bring some kind of activity. And also, as far as the People Street, it's making a parking stall into a parklet, and we're working on that too, as far as support from businesses and landlords who support this type of pedestrian activity on Van Nuys. So I welcome everybody to join and support this initiative.
Very good, thank you. And then the thing that came out of the Plum Committee, you guys, was the beer permit for Pizza Rev, right? We're voting on that tonight.
I think they're present, right?
Pizza Rev, very good. Okay.
Waving.
Very good work, you guys. Thank you for all the work you're doing with the Plum Committee. Thank you very much. Anybody else for committee chairperson's reports? Jeanette, budget advocate report, did you have something on that?
I do. And
okay, just real quick before
I'll
we turn.
It real quick. Okay. But I want to also blow our horn. I almost forgot during the treasurer's report. I wanted to let you know that George and I and Howard went downtown and met with Mr. Merleau-Monnoy in relation to budget issues that actually were three or four treasurers ago. They asked us again about that. And George was able to get one on the caterer. I was able to get two from Smart and Final. And there's another one that I'm in the process of getting that was really old. So out of all the ones that were outstanding, we've got all but the Subway pretty much. So we really worked hard, and I wanted you guys to know just how difficult that was, but we got that taken care of, especially when it was back to 2000 and from 8 to 10 or 11. Now, budget advocates, the only thing I want to tell you is the white paper is pretty much ready. The mayor is going to be giving a speech. I believe it's Thursday. The sad part about it is we also have the Venk mixer on the same night. I don't know how we're expected to be in two places at once. It makes it very difficult. So I hope some of the people that aren't going to Venk will do that, because I've already RSVP'd to Venk. The areas that we stated were requiring improvement are city living within its means, because we obviously know they don't do that. Making our communities safer, restoring city services, improving customer service, utilizing innovative technology to modernize the city. We really need to upgrade the IT department, and that's really one of the major issues. Partnering with citizens and civic groups to build a better city and promoting good jobs for Angelenos. There was an article in the paper just today, I believe, that the mayor's coming up with 10,000 jobs for during the summer for teenagers, and I think that's fabulous, and we need to let him know that we applaud him for that, because there weren't going to be any until he came up with that. There probably are some other things. We have a serious detriment to the city in our constant deferral of maintenance, and it's gone up to being something like help me, Dr. Weissman, $11 billion now? $11 billion, because it kept continually being deferred. Our streets, our sidewalks, our sewers are in desperate need of repair, not to mention, you know, we have sinkholes and other major problems as a result of how old our infrastructure is, so that's something that we also put as a high priority. And we told them that if they don't do these things, we frankly are on the precipice, right on the precipice of bankruptcy. We're almost in insolvency, and in order to prevent that, we need to do some changes. We mentioned to them one of the other major issues is pension reform. They need to know that when you have such a large city with so many employees, if they aren't contributing to that pension and health benefit plan, that's really what's put us where we are. 95% of the budget goes for pensions and salaries and benefits. Obviously, how can you function on a city this size on 5%? You can't.
Thank you, Jeanette.
So that's all we want to let you know. We're working on that, and it's going to change, we hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam.
No,
thank you, Miriam and Jeanette. Dr. Weissman, did you have something for us? He's our
he's got a little more
problem. Budget Advocate Emeritus.
That was my title 3 years ago.
Well, you still have
it. Right now, I'm your budget representative.
There it is. Dr. Dan, you're recognized,
sir. Several things have gone on at the meeting on Saturday of the coalition. Each neighborhood council was given this document. I'd love to lay it on you.
Can you throw it at us, please?
At any rate, what this is, and it's a very important document, is the document related to the Save Our Streets program. We budget advocates from information no greater than what's in this huge document. estimate that the streets that need to be repaired would cost between $3 and $5 billion to do. The sidewalks that need repair 10 years ago were estimated at $1.8 billion. Now it's well into $200 to $300 billion.
Is your group taking a position on the sales tax thing that they're coming up with?
Yes, they've opposed it already.
Yeah. They oppose.
We oppose. We don't want it.
Okay. Now, the whole issue is that somewhere from all this deferred maintenance, those of you who own property know what deferred maintenance is. It's what a landlord does when they just don't take care of their property and just let it go down the drain.
Slumlord.
Our city is well into the $25 to $50 billion debt behind in doing things that it should have done 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Exactly.
So when the mayor says he wants to go back to basics, there's nothing more basic than that.
Yep.
Now, with your permission, I'd be glad to work on this with the activities I've been doing, and it's available to anyone who would be interested in it. The Save Our Streets thing is the biggest immediate piece of debt that we really have to find some money somewhere and start some work somewhere. This whole document goes about saying it's not even going to start for 3 years. They're going to study it until then. You got to study it? Yeah, that's all right. But with your permission, may I continue to work on this?
Of course, Dr. Dan, you have a...
Who wants it both in on the council, please let me know, and I'd be glad to let you have it.
I'm scared.
Now, thank you very much.
The other issue occurred just this morning. This morning, the LA 2020 Commission, sometimes called the Mickey Cantor Commission, or the commission that Council President Wesson asked to look at the budget of the city, gave their second report. Their first report was a book something like this called A Time for Truth, in which the committee went through and found a number of things that needed to be done. Well, we budget advocates wondered why we were being replaced by this committee. We're really not being replaced by it. But they came up finding 22 of the 72 things that they put together as already recommended by the budget advocates. Mr. Cantor was very kind this morning and recognized the activity of the budget advocates over the year. This book called A Time for Action, I've already given a copy to your government relations chair.
Thank you.
I have a half a dozen more copies for you. And then the final thing I'd like to bring to your attention has already been brought partly. The state of the city will be given by the Endeavor space vehicle down in Exposition Park tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. Then if we're fast, we can get up by 5:30 to the VANC meeting. Both of those meetings are very important. The VANC meeting, by the way, is at the Media Center, and you do need to RSVP for it. But I can't but recommend that all of you who can go to those meetings, go to them. The mayor's budget is scheduled to come out on Friday or Saturday this week. It's a week ahead of the usual April 20th. On Monday, which I think is what, the 17th or 14th, I think I'll be able to get the budget documents. I brought them to you before. This is lightweight material. That's the heavyweight stuff. At any rate, I hope to keep you informed of some of these activities as they go on. I would hope that some of you, it's very important to go to the mayor's State of the City meeting just to show face. And I see Max is here tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon in Exposition Park. And I think it's called the Annenberg Building. It's the building that now houses the Endeavor spacecraft. Max, you're here. Yeah, and it's not an easy place to get to, but it's a very worthwhile thing. If the mayor means what he says, he's going to say it again tomorrow. Right, Amber? And he probably will. Yeah, and certainly all of these things are available to us. One of the things that was brought up by the 2020 committee this morning was that nobody knows where these pieces of information are. Nobody knows how to find them. Well, guys like Jack Humphreyville and your humble servant have found them almost all the time. But it takes a lot of digging, and I'd love to start training some of you to start doing this and join the party to keep our city as good as we can. I'll give you these.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dan.
I'd like to speak because I didn't
thank you very much.
Agenda. There was no agendas up front.
Didn't it get emailed to you, Miriam?
Oh, I did. Okay. But the fact yeah. is, can I speak on it?
Do you want to speak on the budget advocates report?
I'd like to be able to.
Sure. Let's give Miriam 2 minutes, everyone.
Where this is at tomorrow afternoon. I just want to say that. Can I have one of those booklets?
Do we have one for Paul?
The booklets that you're giving out?
Yes. Reserve one for Paul and one for Miriam.
Thank you.
Yes.
I would like to say is that if we're going to have a balance here between the taxpayers, the workers, the city workers, how about our water and power paying more into health care and pension too as well? I think that everybody should get on board, and especially city council members. The mayor should not sign off any expenditures like giving money away to Westfield. I want to put in here accountability.
Thank you, Mary.
For all monies that are collected. Instead of, you know, if we're going to have to fix our infrastructure, then we need to have accountability where all the money is going and everything, so that the city workers don't feel like they're getting the shaft, because they work off the brow, and I don't want them getting taken advantage of. Okay.
Thank you very much, Miriam.
And I'm also looking out for the taxpayer as well, because I'm looking at this from the objective point of view.
Very
that
nice.
I would like to see everything. Everybody has to take a share in this,
thank
in
you,
this
Mary.
Effort, so that we have a city for the future for our children. Thank
yes.
you very much.
All right, thank you, Miriam. Miriam Fogler, everybody.
Yep.
Moving on.
Georgia.
8B.
Georgia.
Okay.
We'll get you one.
We'll get you one. I don't
yes.
even have one.
I was going to talk about the government.
I'm going to go ahead and recognize Paul Anand at this time.
Okay, so I wasn't here last time, unfortunately, so I didn't get a chance to go over what we did discuss in the government relations meeting.
Very good.
Previously. And one of the issues that we did come up with when we had our relations meeting was there were several issues. But one of the main issues we discussed was rules of conduct in chambers. So I thought that it was really appropriate now to bring up the rules of conduct in chambers. Just so everyone's aware, we have a parliamentarian in Joseph Lazarowicz. I was elected to be sergeant at arms, and we have a code of conduct in basically a code of civility. And we voted on that code of civility, and anybody who does not follow the code of civility is not welcome in chambers. Even though this chambers is meant to be a public
forum,
yes, thank you. It still abides by that code of civility. So I would ask everyone that this is a democratic process, that when you have time allotted to speak, that you may speak during that time, and when someone else has time to speak, you please hold back your emotions and allow them the opportunity to express themselves, so we can do everything, have a very orderly discussion. So I appreciate it. The second thing I wanted to talk about as part of it was what we discussed in the Government Relations Committee was something that was brought up already by Nuri. I thought was great, was the Great Streets Initiative. And we talked about something that's...
That's it.
We got it? Oh.
No, it was when he played with that one, it made more noise. So that must be the bad...
Yeah. Very good. Jerry and the mayor on it. Back to you, Paul.
Okay, so one of the things that's even part of this 2020 and is part of the 2020 commission is also probably part of the budget advocates report, I'm sure, is the need to bring and spur economic development.
Correct.
You heard our councilwoman talk about the Van Nuys Boulevard and the level of vacancy that's occurred, the number of places that are up for lease. We have a serious problem in this city. And we have a serious problem right now along our boulevard. So one of the things that's been discussed is tourism and those types of district events that would help us. So as part of government relations, I'd like to explore more actual, along with Carino as part of the People Street, and we and Ciclovia back to Van Nuys Boulevard to figure out how we can organize events and also encourage our council to invest money into bringing up the quality of the, of that street in terms of facades or anything else we can do to help bring tourism. I know museum was discussed. These are one of the things that was recommended in the 2020 commission report and one of the things I think would be really good for our city.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. Yes, Candy, did you want to speak?
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. Speaking with Don and with the city attorney, you have a code of, what did you call it? A code?
Civility.
Civility. You have to, Mr. President, it has to be presented to stakeholders. You have to have a copy of it with you. And there was a decision by the courts, Matt Dow versus the city of Los Angeles in regard to public speaking. And so you better take a look at that before you start to think you can throw people out, because then you're going to be held liable for any actions you take, because those are two things that you have not taken a look at. Do you have a copy of your code of civility?
Yes, we do. I believe, George, you have a copy of it?
Yeah, and it's up online as well.
Also on our website.
Can we have copies here so they'll be at the desk?
Sure, we can start handing out copies of that. That's okay. Absolutely fine.
And then also, if you look at Matt Dallas versus the city of Los Angeles, public free speech. Okay.
Very good. Thank you. Moving on with the meeting. Yes, sir. Moving on with the meeting. 8B, the VNNC to consider and vote upon registered applicants for the senior seat. As it stands today, we have two registered applicants, Kathleen Padden and James Piper. So, and Miriam, it was my understanding that Miriam was being qualified through your nonprofit and the paperwork wasn't filed, or... Of course you can.
As you saw tonight, we do love Van Nuys. We are part of St. Elizabeth, and St. Elizabeth is the nonprofit. So she doesn't have to join the church. She can. She's a resident of the city of the Van Nuys area. And so then if you want to get sticky about that,
I would be happy to entertain us voting on any of the three. Then that's
okay.
Absolutely fine.
Also, you made it. It was very clear that you had to be three consecutive meetings. Ms. Patton has come to three meetings at different times to only argue her point, not to attend the meeting and to stay for the full time of the meeting. So you have two qualified people in Ms.
It's my understanding.
Mariam, and you have. And
it's
you have
my
Piper.
Understanding that Kathleen has been at the last three meetings.
She's stayed for all except this one, and it's because her husband just had cancer surgery for the third time, and she needed to get home to give him his medication. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Well, then let's hold off till we get the information on that, Miss. Again, she goes to St. Elizabeth Church, but she was not here for three consecutive ones.
We've been discussing the senior seat for a very long time, and I think we should just have the vote.
Yes.
If it pleases the council. Well, all three of them have been in the room for the last three times.
We have done here tonight. Can you give an input on this? Where's Ms. Patton at?
Sure. What's the question?
I don't know, Candy. What is the question?
In regards to filling one of the spots here, we have two individuals who have been coming here for many, many years, who have attended all the meetings. Ms. Patton, is she here?
She went home to attend to
that has nothing to do with the thing. It has nothing. I feel so.
Where is there a provision?
Wow.
Yes, it's supposed to be the church.
Where is that?
We're going to go ahead and get back to if it pleases the council, we'll either table this or vote on it right now. But
I think that the president is willing to entertain, giving everyone an opportunity. That seems fair. I'm not aware of any provision that requires previous meeting attendance in general to participate on a board. So unless I'm not seeing it.
I believe it was a verbal thing that our council came up with and
right.
Nothing in writing.
And that's
it was three meetings. You had to attend three meetings to be voted upon.
So typically the reason you wouldn't see it in writing and you wouldn't see it in bylaws is because that's actually not permitted. The stakeholder rights to participate on a board cannot be conditioned as far as meeting attendance.
Then even better. Even better. So thank you, Amber, very much. Rabina, did you have something?
I have a question. What is the protocol to be considered
for the...
Well, I stand corrected. The protocol would be just to be a stakeholder, a property owner, or someone that owns a business or is a resident in Van Nuys. The three meetings thing, we arbitrarily, I guess, put as a condition, but it's not legal, so we're not touching that ever again. And you are... You can go fill out a application, submit it, and we can vote on you next month if you'd like to sit on this board.
Okay.
We would love to have you, Rubina.
I think there are a number of people that might wish to also, but we didn't know the problem.
Okay, very good.
I believe the issue is three absences. That's probably where it got conflagrated, okay, because three absences would get you removed.
If you have, yes, Mr. Anand is completely correct in stating if there are three consecutive unexcused absences, you're no longer on the board. So maybe that's where we got the 3 months thing from. So with that, the three people that are qualified and have expressed interest in the senior seat are Kathleen Padden, Miriam Fogler, and James Piper. So if the way that the language is written on the agenda, we can just go ahead and vote on the registered applicants for the senior seat. Do we want to hear from Miriam and James, or do we want to just go ahead and vote on it?
It's unfair for Kathleen, however. Kathleen's not here. She had to leave because of her husband.
I'm thinking in the best interests of American representative democracy, we should hear from those. On the application for VNNC membership, we'll just go down the four questions. Who do we want to start with, or we can go back and forth? We'll go ahead and do it just the same way that we did the sheriff's debate. So we'll start with Miriam and then Mr. Piper. The first question is, list any community service or volunteer work you are currently doing or have done in the past. Kathleen's husband had eye surgery yesterday, but she submitted her application. After these two go, I will read Kathleen's answer as well. So number one, list any community service or volunteer work you are currently doing or have done in the past. Let's, Mr. Vice President, give him 2 minutes. What do you say? All right, 2 minutes to answer the question. Miriam, you are recognized.
Yes, I received my bachelor's degree in psychology, and I did some volunteer work at the Van Nuys Ernie Senior Bernardi Center for a school. So that was something that I did volunteering here in Van Nuys. I also attended Ernie Bernardi meetings. I did Prop 13, helped with the volunteer in that. I used to reside in Van Nuys for many years. I know the area. I'm familiar with it. And my father was a rabbi and cantor. My mother was a cantoress. I come from an outstanding background. I also been coming to Van Nuys Neighbor Council for a number of years, and I'm the one that got these seats, these chairs, and I also got the senior seat open, which I pushed for so much to wanting to get on it, and I feel that I have the qualifications and the resources and the effort to become to lead the seniors here in Van Nuys. And I feel that I'm the most qualified, and I think that I would do a very good job here. And I think I would get the seniors to speak at video conferencing, and I would just be very, very good. Excellent. And I've been always involved in politics, and I would always help people. You know, I've volunteered to help people, so that's been my nature. So, and I just hope that you elect me as your senior. Thank you.
Very good. For Mr. Piper, I'll reread the question. List any community service or volunteer work you are currently doing or have done in the past.
Yes, with St. Joseph, the St. Elizabeth Church, with the food bank, I've been helping out and going there and doing cleanups every weekend on the wherever needs to be done at the what the church needs to do. I've been doing that stuff. Lived most of my life in Van Nuys. Went to Van Nuys High School, and all the I think was forget the Fulton Junior High, and been living around. I've been doing a lot of other stuff, so mostly working jobs, stuff of that nature. And so that's about it.
Very good. For Kathleen, she wrote, it's list any community service or volunteer work you are currently doing or have done in the past. She's an LAPD volunteer. She works on eliminating graffiti. She's a neighborhood watch volunteer for 11 years, and she's St. Elizabeth's Eucharistic minister. All right, next up. What is it?
Ann Lechter.
There you go. Number two, briefly describe why you would like to serve on the VNNC. In the interest of fairness, we're going to start with James Piper this time. We'll go back and forth like we did with the sheriff's debate. So, James, you're up first here. Briefly describe why you would like to serve on the VNNC.
I would like to serve on the VNNC because I really believe in the group, and I've been coming here for quite a few number of meetings. And I like everybody, get along with most of you. Well, I get along with all of you. And I'd like to work, like to do stuff, be involved. And I think I'd be very good for the board. And about it.
Thank you, James. Miriam, briefly describe why you would like to serve on the VNNC.
I think I would be very inspiring in helping and working with you very much. And I think that we need to get the seniors involved in the meeting here. And I just love coming here, and I've been helping people here. I'm always open to helping and being good to everybody here. And whatever it takes, I will do it to make our community very, very functioning, very well here in Van Nuys. I expect that that will come from me. Thank you.
Very good. Next question. What specific skills?
What did Kathleen say?
Kathleen, briefly describe what you would like. Briefly describe why you would like to serve on the VNNC. And she wrote that she would like to serve because she has resided in Van Nuys for over 53 years.
Longer than any of us.
Up next, what specific skills do you possess that would help the VNNC achieve its mission to serve as advisors to city decision makers and help to improve the quality of life for those who reside within the VNNC boundaries? Miriam, you're up first on this one.
Well, I'm going right now, and I'm working with some people right now to reach out to various people who are disabled and seniors, all walks of life. I'm going over to the center, and their mission is to reach out, and right now they're going to give out packets to people, emergency kits. And I'm very dynamic, and I have a psychology degree, and I have the training. I'm very familiar with how to look up different things that I need to do as a senior and how to get people involved as a senior. And I look forward to doing that service here for the seniors of the community of Van Nuys. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam. James Piper. What specific skills do you possess that would help the VNNC achieve its mission to serve as advisors to the city decision makers and help to improve the quality of life for those who reside within the VNNC boundaries?
I'm a very good listener. I would listen, research. I like to research any of the problems that we come across. I like to investigate stuff, so I'd help out with that. And like I said before, I was a very good worker.
Okay. Very nice. Kathleen Patton put she's working with the LAPD to eliminate graffiti. All right, the fourth question, which position are you looking to fill, and how do you qualify for that seat? So, James, you're up first on this one. What position are you looking to fill, and how do you qualify for that seat?
The senior seat. And I'm like 59, so I guess I'm a
senior. There it is.
I hate to see you. I'm a senior. And what else?
What position are you looking to fill, and how do you qualify for that seat? Miriam.
Well, I'm over 55, which I'm not going to say exactly, but I also I have a lot of contacts with seniors, and I'm with an interest in Van Nuys, an organization that's reaching out to different people, advisory there in Van Nuys. It's the Independent Living Center. So I'm looking forward to please be on the board here as a senior, on the senior seat. Thank you.
Very good. And for Kathleen Padden, what position are you looking to fill? The senior seat. And how do you qualify for that seat? She wrote down that she's been in Van Nuys for 53 years. Then we also have a letter from, 80-ish. She's 80-ish.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly how old she is, but her husband's 80, so she's probably.
And the pastor for St. Elizabeth wrote a letter to us saying, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Patton are longtime good standing parishioners of St. Elizabeth Catholic Church in Van Nuys. Kathleen is a lector and extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. So with that, Neighborhood Council, we will be voting on one of the three for the senior seat. Do I have a second to call for the vote? All right. With that, Mr. Secretary, I call for the vote for the senior seat. You can cast a vote for... They are running collectively, and you can vote for one of the three or abstain.
Okay, President Thomas.
I vote for Kathleen Padden.
Okay, vote for Padden. Vice President Benjamin.
Abstain.
Vice President, okay, just a second. This is a little more complex than the normal chart, so we will do it. Treasurer Hopp.
Kathleen Padden.
Okay, Secretary Hendry for Padden. Mr. Anand.
You know, I also vote for Kathleen Padden.
Okay, Mr. Kamara. Okay. Mr. De La Cuesta.
I'm going off the grain. I'm voting for Mary.
Can I hear that again?
Mary. You have to repeat that.
I'm voting for Mary.
Who is that?
Mary and Fogler.
Oh, okay. Mary, okay. My apologies. I'm just not intentionally meaning anything. Mr. Guevara.
James Piper.
Okay. Ms. Havard?
Abstain.
Abstain? Okay. Mr. Lazarevitz?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. Does Mr. Lynn get to vote on this one?
I believe he would. Yeah, well, absolutely.
Okay.
On the board,
Mr. Piper.
Okay, very good, thank you. Mr. Martin? That was a vote for Padden, okay.
Uh-huh.
Ms. Meyer?
Abstain.
That's an abstain, okay. Ms. Skelton?
I have to say that I like them both, and they both have helped us a lot. Marilyn has helped us to get us these chairs, and she always came to me. I can say Piper helped us a lot dealing with Derek, and as well as just helping us in general.
Excuse me, what was that?
Abstain.
You're right, abstain. Okay. Mr. Bileko.
Piper.
Okay, thank you. I count five for Padden, four for Piper, one for Fogler, and one, two.
There it is.
Six abstain.
Yes.
Five abstain.
Amber.
I would like to suggest, and you don't have to take my suggestion, you might want to maybe revote. Now, kind of use that as a runoff and revote, because your bylaws do say that your vacancy should be by a simple majority.
We need six.
Of your voting members, so.
Do it again. We need six for their majority.
So. Okay, so.
Vote Howard, please. I'm going to vote.
Go ahead.
Okay, so then we will... Why does he have the floor? Oh, okay. So, yes. But if it pleases the council, we're going to just do a revote on... We're going to go down the list again.
I'm withdrawing and supporting Miriam.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
That means he's not running any longer and he wants to give his...
Okay, so now you're pulling out of the race, Mr. Piper?
Yeah.
Okay, so then we will be having a vote now for Kathleen Patton or Miriam Fogler. And then we will move on to 8C. So I make a motion that we revote with the two people that are in the race, Kathleen Patton and Miriam Fogler.
Second.
I have a second from the Vice President. Mr. Secretary, I call for the vote.
Okay, in 1 second when I get this charted. Okay. President Thomas.
I vote for Kathleen Patton.
Vice President Benjamin.
Abstain.
Okay, just a second. Treasurer Hopp.
Kathleen Patton.
Excuse me? What?
Kathleen Patton.
Patton, okay. I'm having some trouble here, so no problem. Okay. Mr. Anand.
I vote for Ms. Patton.
Patton. Okay. Mr. Kamara.
I vote for Ms. Fogler.
Fogler. Okay. Mr. De La Cuesta.
Fogler.
Fogler. Okay. Mr. Guevara.
Abstain.
Abstain. Ms. Havard.
Abstain.
Abstain. Mr. Lazarevitz.
I'll vote for Kathleen.
Patton. Okay. Mr. Lynn.
Fogler.
Mr. Martin.
Ms. Patton.
Patton. Okay. Ms. Meyer.
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay. Mrs. Skelton.
Abstain.
Abstain. Mr. Waleko. Mr. Waleko?
I'm going to vote for the vote count goes to Kathleen. Congratulations, Ms. Kathleen Patton. I'm going to vote for Miriam. I think you've been doing a great job, and I think you've tried very hard to get on this council many, many times, and I applaud your effort. And I'm sorry you didn't win this one, but I'm sure you'll get on soon enough.
Bravo. Let's give her a big hand.
Bye for Patton.
You broke her. I'm not sure.
It's a 5-4 for Patton.
Only five again? We still need one more. And I thought we had six.
I thought it was a simple majority. Was
if it's simple majority, then it's a simple majority.
If it would be a simple majority, it'd have to be eight.
It'd have to be six.
Eight?
Six. Our bylaws say six.
Simple majority, not including
abstentions.
I've abstained on this one.
So would that make it?
Five or five.
So it's 6-5-5, Kathleen's on.
Yeah, 6-5, exactly. So
okay.
She's on.
All right, very good. I would like to thank everyone that ran. Miriam, thank you for running. James Piper, thank you for running. You guys are both very involved. You do a great job. I'm going to resurrect the ambassador program, and you guys are going to be the first two people that I will recommend to this council that are ambassadors. We can work on getting the video conferencing back up. And once again, thank you guys for running. Thank you for being involved. And you are the top of my list for the ambassadorships. Yes, Candy.
What other positions do we still have available, Mr. President? Because we have Mr. Luna here, who's ran for one of the positions.
Yeah, where is Mr. Luna? There he is. How are you, sir? No, I think you're absolutely great, and we would love to have you on the board. I would love to find a spot for you. Kambi Marabi is applied. I would love to find a spot for him. What we will do is flush this out, and Herbert Thompson's not on anymore, and find out what the spots are. I'll send out a memo to everyone. And since the arbitrary rule that we set for three meetings is no longer going to be enforced, anyone that can get me their application, Cambie's on top of it. I already have Cambie's right here. Get me the application before the executive meeting next month. We'll vote on all of this and see if we can fill the board. Very good, guys. Thank you very much. All right, moving on. 8C, start planning and working on the 4th of July concert at the Van Nuys Civic Center. The VNNC will be collaborating with the Valley Cultural Center to host a concert at City Hall along with a festival celebrating the United States of America's 238th birthday. We have it on here as funding not to exceed $2,500. What I wanted to do was just to have the council endorse this. We can discuss it. We're not officially voting on what the $2,500 is going to be spent for. This is kind of a vote of confidence for us doing this. The Valley Cultural Center, are they the same people that put on the concerts in the park in Woodland Hills at Warner Center? The gentleman that runs it, I spoke to him yesterday and told him we're voting on this tonight. And he said, after the vote, give me a call and we can start planning it. What I would like to do is open this up for discussion and debate and hear from the council members on if you guys are interested in moving forward on the 4th of July concert. Maria, yeah. You are recognized.
I thought y'all wanted to be on for the Valley Alliance of Neighborhood Council.
Beautiful. Well, the thing is we're very lucky in having the 4th of July on a Friday this year. It's my understanding that all of the government offices will be closed, so we can have full and complete access to in front of City Hall. I think Kelly, the library lady, already has permits for movies in the park. They used to do that years ago with the National Night Out. They had movies in the park. And since we're not going to be launching fireworks off the top of the court yet, not this year. I was thinking that we would have kind of like a day concert in the park, invite our elected representatives to have a booth. Mr. Cardenas, our congressman, had an event that Jerry and a few other of our council members went to. Dora said that we could set up something with Adrene Nazarian's office. Where basically there is like informational booths, kind of like how Xavier Osofsky and Lori Wheeler do the government day, similar to that, kind of based on that, and then the concert in the park. And it would be finished for people to wander and meander off into going to the fireworks celebration, wherever that would happen to be.
Are you going to have stuff like, yep, let's say Thrasher Models or Subway have a booth and we're going to be selling, let them sell?
Why? Well, I don't object at all. If we plan this properly, we could kind of combine what Penny did with the Taste of Van Nuys and what the kind of like a car show too. If you guys want something like that, I am open for any and all suggestions. Does anybody else?
That actually,
yes,
sounds like a very good idea. If you had Keys putting something, we could actually help subsidize some of this. I mean, it would be
actually, I believe we only have 46-42 and change. So, frankly, unless, you know, I get verification from Dunn that there's more. So I have to tell you, with all the funding requests that are on there, we're going to be going over that amount. So we need to cut a little back on a couple of them or we can't do it.
The 46-42 is with the LAPD check going out that we voted on for the last fiscal year. So we should
start. No, that was supposed to, no. They said we were supposed to, that was going to come out of last year's budget. That's been taken care of. It's not that. There's other things. So that's why I said I needed their input to verify where we're actually at, because there was reimbursements for Howard and there was other things too.
Okay,
the
somewhere in between
election budget,
11,000 and 5,000. I mean, that's kind
yeah,
of a big
exactly
discrepancy.
Well,
but
because
why
there was
be such a discrepancy?
Because there was a number of big funding issues, not just the fire department or the police department. There was a $4,500 one or something or whatever it was. It was $4,999.
Okay, well, so let's just continue discussing the 4th of July celebration, and then we'll cross that bridge when we come to it next month. Okay. Mr. Malenko.
Yeah, I'd like to support the funding for $2,500 for this event, and also I'd like to consider put in the mind of Paul and Mr. De La Cuesta to, if we can maybe use the 4th of July to actually bring out business development people from maybe Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, talk about this new fire station, you know, the fire station that's going to be closed down. That's, I know that's a whole issue, but that place is going to be vacant. If not a museum, that may be a great place for a Whole Foods or the general store on the corner. Make this an actual event, not only for the public, but a time to actually present what Van Nuys could be for a business, a major business. So not only grocery stores, but we can, you know, brainstorm and come up with other ideas, but bring those people out on the 4th of July and kind of promote the area at that point.
So kind of like working with the councilwoman's office for the business improvement district.
Right.
Kind of basically just launching that.
Right.
Maybe we have a booth that is solely devoted to that particular issue.
You can take them around, show them kind of, and show them the crowd that would attract. If we can heavily promote it and show them the kind of the people that would show up and what the area actually has.
I like it, Derek.
A great time.
I think that's a great idea. Does Mr. Vice President, did you have something on in regards to this?
I think that if we can, a little food wouldn't hurt. If we could.
I'm sure 7-Eleven can organize some assistance as well with food and drink.
Exactly.
Coffee.
It doesn't have to come out of the budget. It can be.
If we can get it someplace else, I have no problem.
It's perfect. So with that,
do you want anything else?
I would say...
Hello.
Yes, Roland, you're recognized. Yes, sir.
I think we should think in getting some more chairs.
Yeah, we're working
on that. I think we're, you know, it's sad that, you know, lots of people had to be standing or sitting on the floor.
She didn't bring it up, I think, because she was being attacked, but Nuri did say she would help us get some more chairs. She promised.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, so with that, for the 4th of July concert at the Van Nuys Civic Center, this will be just basically a vote of confidence for the 2500, and after we get past this, we can have a special meeting to address this specific issue, or everyone can do their work between now and the next general meeting, and we will act on this at the next general meeting.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Maybe you should also consider putting an ad hoc committee then.
I'm totally and completely happy with that. Is there anyone interested in chairing that?
I am.
This would be just for like the business development / 4th of July concert.
I'll take that
up. Okay, very good. So,
Maria wants
to okay, so
Maria, you want to do it? You want to co-chair?
Co-chair.
Are you,
that works.
If it pleases the council, I have no objection at all to that. Okay, so with that, we will be forming an ad hoc committee to help plan the 4th of July concert. I will turn over my contacts to you guys at the Valley Cultural Center. And the motion on the floor is the vote for the funding of the 2500 with the understanding that this is just a vote of confidence for this. There's no paperwork before Jeanette's committee, and we are going to act on this after this vote takes place. So
second.
The motion on the floor, very good. Mr. Olenko seconded it.
Mr. President, before we go right into that, Mr. D'Antona, may I have your word that we can work together on the 4th of July to improve business development for this area? Is that fine?
Sure.
I love
there you
it.
Go.
Thank you, sir.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. D'Antona. We locked you in there, buddy. All right. The motion on the floor is to adopt 8C language as is, with a second from Derek Olenko. Mr. Secretary, I call for the vote.
Yes. President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Anand.
Aye.
Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Lynn.
Yes.
Mr. Martin. Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
Ms. Skelton?
Yes.
Mr. Olenko?
Yes.
Unanimous?
Very good work. Thank you, guys. Moving on, 8D. Mr. Olenko brought this to my attention and asked for it to be on the executive, and it got through the executive committee, and here we are at the general meeting. Derek, did you want to speak on this, or you want to...
Someone here?
I can just read what it says here on the agenda. Okay, so 8D is the Los Angeles Alliance for a New Economy and Unite Here Local 11 to give a presentation on Raise LA Ordinance that will, one, raise wages to a living wage of roughly $15 an hour, and two, to ensure 5 paid sick days a year, and three, to protect workers' tips. The VNNC is to vote on a possible letter of support on Raise LA campaign to secure a living wage for hotel workers in Los Angeles. We have Doug Carter, Roy Saman. Is that?
That's right.
Is it? Okay, very good. All right. Roy, you are officially recognized, sir. Thank you very much.
So
Thanks so much for agreeing to, you know, hear from us and for putting this on your agenda. I appreciate it. As President Thomas said, my name is Roy Simon. I'm an analyst with the Los Angeles Alliance for a New Economy. I'm here to speak on the Raise LA campaign. And so essentially this is a campaign to put money back into the pockets of hotel workers in the city of Los Angeles. A lot has been said about minimum wages and living wages and all that, and so I really wanted to boil it down to what the impact would be locally, because ultimately we believe that this is a local issue. In the 6th District, there are 1,121 hotel workers. If this policy were to pass, that would be an additional $5 million into their pockets, and we believe through our analysis that that money back in those pockets would bring $3 million to Van Nuys, and an additional, you know, $2 billion of kind of induced spending beyond that. So we're talking about $5 million additional dollars of stimulus right into the local economy. And it really ties into what the councilwoman was saying. And, you know, she is one of the supporters of this. She helped introduce it into the council. This really goes into supporting local businesses, bringing back kind of corridors of commerce. You know, empty pockets make really bad shoppers. That's what we like to think. And so we're talking about, you know, giving that money back into the pockets of folks that are quite low wage, that are, you know, working really hard to support one of the city's major industries. And, you know, we think that this is an issue that local neighborhood councils have a great chance to weigh in on. Lake Balboa is supporting us so far. North Hollywood, Midtown has also voted to support us. So we're kind of working our way through the district, and here we are in Van Nuys. And I'm happy to answer any questions, but I hope you'll be able to support us as well. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Roy? Yes, Paul Anand.
All right. So I have several questions.
Sure.
Give it to her. Number one, you're proposing this wage increase. Now, is there any kind of data that you have regarding the number of vacancies, how these businesses are doing?
Yes.
Because one of the things that you know, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a blue-blooded American over here. I'm a Clinton, Bill Clinton fellow. I'm as Democrat as they come. But one of the problems I have right now with the way that we're handling mm-hmm. minimum wage and the way that we're handling a living wage is that we're not taking into account the impact of the rise in prices of things and how that will affect those people who don't have a job, those people who aren't working. So if the cost of a Coca-Cola or the cost of this Cascade or the cost of anything is going to go up, mm-hmm. what's going to happen is, sure, maybe at my store I might sell something and, you know, my labor cost goes up, Coca-Cola's labor cost goes up, everyone's labor cost goes up, well, the cost of this product is going to go up, right? Well, now that person who's not employed just got essentially a huge increase in their cost of living. So it reduced their cost of living for those people who are unemployed, but then may have raised the cost of living for someone else. So you're raising the cost of living maybe on the hotel worker on the back of someone else. So I guess that would be my main question is what type of economic, you're citing economic stimulus,
yes.
but what kind of economic impact do you have that you have some kind of people that you can
sure.
share with us?
I understand where you're coming from, absolutely, and that's a perfect question, actually, because the reason we are talking about the hotel industry, the hospitality industry specifically, is because those are dollars, those are people that are paying that are not from Los Angeles. So that's why the tourism industry is actually a perfect place to start with this. You know, the other thing that I would add on to that is that, you know, the way that our analysis was conducted was through the Economic Roundtable of the County of Los Angeles. So they've taken into account all of those factors and, you know, come up with this stimulus model that we're taking to all the neighborhood councils. The third point that I would bring to address your question is that we really believe in, you know, using a scalpel and not a hammer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think your point would have a lot of validity if we were trying to all at once raise every wage in the county. I think that has a much larger impact. We're talking about a very targeted wage increase for a targeted group of workers, only at hotels that are 100 rooms or larger. Mm-hmm. These are only at hotels that actually have had, you know, year over year, their revenues have increased. They're actually above now where they were in 2007 before the crash. So
is there a provision in there for those people who have a high vacancy rate, for example? And also a lot of these hotel owners that people don't understand is that they are franchisees. So a lot of these people are just small business people. They're franchisees, and they pay money to throw that Hilton sign on the front of their or the Motel 6 sign in front of their door. Right. But whereas it used to be a mom-and-pop shop, now in order to compete, they have to throw that sign. So they have to pay a franchisee some money to be able to throw that sign up. So it's not like they're some big high roll. Ooh, let's go after these multi-mega billionaires, and they're doing wage. You know, they're being cheapskates. These are people who also spend their money in our district and who are trying to earn a living as well. So that is
why we've exempted Motel 6. Motel 6 does not have more than 100 rooms. That's why we're looking at the larger hotels that do by and large, according to our research, tend to be part of national and multinational networks that do by and large tend to actually charge more and send the money out of Los Angeles. So that's, you know, we've really looked into this. We've looked into where the impact would be. You know, there's four properties in the 6th District that would be affected by this. So we're not talking about every hotel, every hospitality. We're talking about the big players, the high rollers in this industry.
Yeah, Jeanette, you're recognized.
Thank you. I have a problem with parity, and we certainly don't have that anywhere in the city for a lot of things. But one that bothers me is you're asking for this for a few locations. However, there are quite a number of service industries, as Paul attested to, that are not always mom and pop, but nonetheless are paying their people minimum wage. For example, Hometown Buffet. Mm-hmm. And most of the restaurant chains all pay minimum wage to their waiters and waitresses. And by the way, as a result of a law that was enacted, and I can't remember when, but several years ago, they have to declare their tips. So they're not being protected like you're asking these people to have protected tips. And they're not making anywhere near $15 an hour. So I find that very inequitable and really unfair to ask for that small segment to get that kind of a raise, where everybody else who's working hard and not getting recognized and who can barely pay their rent are not going to be getting that kind of money, nor are their tips protected. So I have to tell you, I find it a very inequitable request, and my vote would be no.
Well, I have to say, I disagree with you. Not surprisingly. Look, do I believe that there are many workers that are working really, really hard that are not making enough to make ends meet? Absolutely. Do I believe that if we were to come at this and say, all right, every single restaurant in the city or the county of Los Angeles has to come up to this level, we would get massacred? That would be a non-starter. So the reason we're focusing very specifically on a very specific industry as a test case to show, look, this can work. You can still make money, you can still run a successful business, and you can still pay your people well. You can still protect tips. You can still give people sick time.
No.
Just to reiterate your question back to you, so you're saying that until people that are at the very bottom are making more money, we shouldn't allow other people to make more money? Is that what I'm hearing? Or I'm just trying to understand. I understand the inequity question.
I said inequity and parity. Absolutely. Why should one little small segment, and I know you're saying it's a test case, but why should that one small segment make that kind of money when there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that don't and probably never will? It is not fair. And I know
Sure.
Excuse me. Did I interrupt you when you spoke? Okay, minimum wage is going up, but very slowly, and it's not going to come up to anywhere near what that is. Like I said, it's not fair, and we have too much inequity now, and so many of those people are killing themselves trying to make a living for their families, and they're not doing it. So to me, to give somebody who already makes pretty decent money a way big increase, and these people who are making $8 an hour aren't getting anything like that, it's not fair. I just cannot fathom how you can justify that in your mind. I cannot. Thank you.
Well, so to respond to that, the workers in the hotel industry are not making decent money. The hotel industry, the average is about $8 to $10.
Okay, well, if they're making $10, they're making $2 an hour more
already. I'd like to respond to your concerns, if I may. So the reason, again, we're looking at the hotel industry is that 40% of the low-income workers in the city of Los Angeles are employed by the tourism industry. That's where the low-income workers are. So we're trying to bring equity back to the city by going to where the poverty jobs are. So that's why we're doing what we're doing.
I'd like to make a comment.
Let's recognize Derek, please.
I'll be voting in full support of this. I think it's time that we take action on the minimum wage. It's extremely too low. I mean, you're talking about a 40-hour week full time. Person working that's less than $14,000 a year that they're making. It's you can't support a family, you can't support yourself on that. Even two people in the home doing that, that's less than $27,000 a year. That's below poverty lines.
And
well, even still, I think, you know, these are baby steps that should be taken to. I mean, I understand the argument that if you start raising, you know, everything across the board, then the price is shifted onto the consumer, and then everything's just going to go up, and the people without a job are going to have trouble. But I think it is inflation, but we haven't seen these are baby steps that need to happen for these people that right now just aren't making anything. It can't support rent, it can't support a family. It's miserable. I think, you know, this is something good that you're trying to do.
Thank you.
I applaud it, and I hope everyone else can get behind it as well.
Thank you.
We have three people in the audience that would like to speak, and Mr. Anand as well. So Mr. Anand, and then there are three. Yes,
sir. All right. So I do applaud the effort, and like I said, as a Democrat, I really do support trying to raise up everyone mm-hmm. and making sure that everyone does have a living wage. And I really care about, you know, everyone having a living wage. But what I consider to be a living wage would be to look at the cost of living and then to say that based on the cost of living, that their quality of life improves. Okay, so like you said, if we raise it across the board, what's going to happen is the quality of life doesn't necessarily improve. It just devaluates the dollar and everything just goes up, right? So one thing I was wondering, though, and I'm not saying I'm not supporting you or I am going to support you yet. I'm just trying to tease out the facts. So the 2020 report came out.
Yes.
The 2020 commission report came out today. And one of the things they talk about that you bring up that I thought was very, very poignant was that we need to increase. We have no real increase right now in overseas visitors, and they want to establish a regional tourism authority to try to increase tourism. Now, if we increase the cost for someone visiting on the hotel that they're going to be staying at, because remember, if you raise the wages, it's not like that person who's running that business is going to go ahead and eat the cost. They're going to pass it on to the consumer. I mean, that's what you're going to do, right? So obviously then, wouldn't that put us at a disadvantage in terms of trying to spur tourism, which is what this 2020 report is actually suggesting? So that's...
Before you ask, I want to have to just back up. So if that's the argument, then there's no point ever in raising the minimum wage.
No, there is when there's an economic place to support it. But if you're in the middle of a recession or in the middle of a depression, you say to yourself... Yes, we are in a very tedious place right now.
The hospitality sector is not in the middle of a recession. Their revenue per available room has gone up every single year since 2010. And to answer your other point in regards to bringing in overseas visitors, those visitors are going to continue coming to Los Angeles because of what Los Angeles is, because of what this region is. You know, to your third, I'm sorry, what was your third point? Oh, I'm sorry, the 2020 report. Yeah. Thank you. You know, one of the other recommendations in that report was to raise the minimum wage in the city of Los Angeles. And, you know, we've got Eli Broad has come out in favor of this sort of thing. Rick Caruso has come out in favor of it. AEG has come out in favor of it. These are folks that know business, that understand that, like I said, empty pockets make bad shoppers. And we're trying to give people the ability to go back to neighborhoods and spend in those mom and pop shops, spend in the Whole Foods that you'd love to put into your vacant fire engine stations. So that's what we're doing here. It's been borne out. You know, we've done it in Long Beach. It happened in the Century Boulevard corridor around LAX. In those places, we've seen vacancies. You know, Century Boulevard has one of the highest hospitality vacancy rates in the county. Long Beach has not seen any appreciable dip in their vacancy rates. Don't believe that actually that those two things flow one to the other.
So you're telling me that an increase in revenue is the same thing as them making more money, which I don't necessarily agree with. your take home, if your cost is so high and everything is so expensive, I mean, geez, try to get anything passed through the city. Trust me, the city is going to be taking a heck of a lot more, and every single permit that they take is tripled, for crying out loud. The cost of business tax going up, everything going up, it doesn't necessarily mean that an increase in revenue is an increase in take home.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, so we are going to hear, this gentleman had his hand up first, then the rock stars Miriam and Donna, and then we'll hear from Candy. So you're recognized, sir.
Just want to